Now it's time for Toker Talk Radio, the voice of the marijuana nation.
What are you people? On dope?
Where you can toke.
I inhale frequently.
Or you can talk.
I experimented with marijuana and didn't inhale.
Or you can toke and talk.
10 federal criminal penalties for possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
While we talk about toke on Toker Talk Radio.
So by the way, when it comes to pot, you know, if you're 40 years old, you live in a log cabin in Oregon, you got 12 giant pot plants in your backyard, have a ball.
Live from beautiful Portland, Oregon at Rolla J Studios.
Cannabis.
Plus your calls live at 971-533-7111.
They're walking on their pants with their cap on backwards, listening to the Enema Man and Snoopy Snoopy Poop Dog.
What's to keep somebody from getting all potted up on weed and then getting behind the wheel?
Gateway theory doesn't work. It's a reality.
Holland, is it real? Don't tease me.
We're locking up people that take a couple of puffs of marijuana, and the next thing you know, they got 10 years.
And now, here's your host, the guru of ganja graphics, the sultan of sativa statistics, and the worst nightmare of a reefer mad prohibitionist. A polite, perspicacious, productive pothead with a propensity for PowerPoint. Radical Russ Belville.
All right. Welcome back, everybody. Hour two, Toker Talk Radio in effect. Glad to have you here on CannabisRadio.com. Our phone lines are open at 971-533-7111. Been having some fun of these past couple days. Sorry I missed you yesterday. Yesterday, I had to move all of my stuff out of one storage unit and place it in another storage unit. And there was truck rentals, and there were missed appointments, and there were locked gates, and there were all sorts of little fun hurdles thrown my way. It took me the whole day, but finally, two truck rentals later, I managed to get all my stuff moved. And now I am completely mobile. I'm on the road, and this weekend I will be in Fort Worth, Texas, starting Friday and staying through Monday. So Tuesday I'll be flying back. But going to get a feel for the Lone Star State and what's happening at the Southwest Cannabis Conference and Expo. I tell you, folks, it's always interesting doing these events in red states. Always great to meet these activists who are still having to fight under mostly prohibition. Now, Texas does have one of those CBD oil laws for the little kids with epilepsy. So they've taken, you know, a small move forward in recognizing some limited medical use of cannabis. But I'll be in Texas this weekend, and it brings up this post from our friends at Republicans Against Marijuana Prohibition. Now, I think you've been following the show for a while, and you know that I'm no Republican. I'm pretty stridently liberal and progressive, right? No doubt about which way I'm leaning. But I like RAMP, and I love Republicans Against Marijuana Prohibition. I think, given what Republicans say they're all about, that it should be, they should be the ones leading the charge for marijuana legalization. You think about it, right? You know, Democrats tend to be the side of government needs to protect the people and take care of the people and welfare and all that kind of stuff. And you could see Democrats and going through a thought process that would say, well, if marijuana is bad for society, we've got to find a way to curb the badness, you know, groupthink kind of thing. But on the Republican side, it's always about like liberty and freedom and states' rights and individual responsibility and responsible government and smaller size government programs and everything about the war on drugs and specifically marijuana violates all those conservative principles, right? Well, this was the thoughts behind the formation of Republicans Against Marijuana Prohibition. I was there when Ann Lee, the mother of Richard Lee, who did Prop 19 in California, I was there when she came up with the idea. It was a 2011 conference, and she said, I'm going to form Republicans Against Marijuana Prohibition. And this woman, she's 84 now, 85, I think, and she's a, you know, long-time conservative activist. She's stridently pro-life and, you know, small government and, you know, all the typical things you'd think of a older Texas conservative woman would be, right? But through her son, Richard, getting in the accident and, you know, suffering the paralysis, being in a wheelchair and using cannabis medically, she's come to understand that marijuana prohibition is the most unconservative thing you could support. And so she forms this Republicans Against Marijuana Prohibition. Well, now, and not now, this is a story from last Wednesday, but the Republican Party of Texas has rejected Republicans Against Marijuana Prohibition's booth at the state party convention in May. Now, the executive director is Ann Lee. I already told you about her, right? She's been a precinct chair for over 40 years. So she's worked in the Republican Party for four decades now as a precinct chair. John Baucom, the political director, is the chairman of the Texas Young Republicans and former president of the Houston chapter. And the treasurer sits on the state Republican Executive Committee. So there's nothing, you know, this isn't, you know, the normal ad booth coming. This isn't the guys from Normal that are cannabis activists first and then, you know, we'll go to this Republican convention. These are Republicans core to the core who would go to this kind of convention anyway, who happen to support the end of prohibition. And it's not like Ramp brings up a bunch of pot leaves and stuff, and they're really about the branding it with the conservative message. So they have this committee for the Republican Party of Texas, and the treasurer who's on that committee, she's on this officials committee, which reviews booth applications. They met in an executive session, which required a vow of silence. All right. There's like a gag order, right? So the treasurer of Ramp can't tell the rest of Ramp, the rest of her executives, why their booth got denied. And indeed, their booth got denied. They've got no explanation as to why their request is denied, which doesn't make a lot of sense because the Republican Party of Texas has been pretty welcoming to different sides of debates. They've had opposite sides of the immigration debate. You know, Texas, that's a big, big issue about immigration. They've allowed lobbyists for different causes to be there on the floor for the Texas Republican convention. So there's no legitimate reason to not allow Ramp to be at this event, other than the typical canna bigotry that happens. And as they explain in their post, this act by the Republican Party of Texas signals that a significant portion of Republicans, including the vast majority of Republicans under 40, are not welcome or valued, even if we agree with 99% of what happens to be in the ever-changing Republican Party of Texas platform. That's the other thing, is if Republicans want to keep and grow their party and can't read the demographic writing on the wall of how their base is aging and they desperately need to attract young people, millennial Republicans, a majority of them support legalization. You keep discriminating against Ramp, just not even letting them talk, and you send a message loud and clear to those younger Republicans. Good luck to Ann Lee and the rest of Ramp. Hope you can push through and get your message out there on the floor. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about Eric Holder, who somehow thinks the drug war is over. Got to clue him in on a few things right after this. Back in 90 seconds.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
The next generation of vaporizers has arrived. Vuber vaporizers are blazing the way with unparalleled technology for oil, concentrate, or dry flower pens. Providing unsurpassed customer service and expert craftsmanship, Vuber vaporizers use cutting-edge technology, providing a power-packed, smoother vapor with a lifetime guarantee. Experience vaporizing the way it was meant to be. The Vuber way.
The Russ Belville Show. We're as much like Cheech and Chong as ordinary Americans are like the Three Stooges. Hey, Mo!
From high atop Mount Soledad in San Diego, California, 100 feet above sea level. Good morning. It's Good News with cannabis nurse Heather.
This plant is amazing. Positive change is happening. We did it. No matter who you are, you can make a positive impact on the world.
I would rather be illegally alive than legally dead.
And that quote helped to give you strength.
Nurse Heather is only on CannabisRadio.com.
Good morning, Cannabis Nurse Heather.
Hey everybody, it's Radical Russ here from 420 Radio, inviting you to be like me and get your ink done at Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo, Fort Worth's most female-friendly, clean, sterile, awesome tattoo shop. Thomas and his crew are true artists who can design you a custom piece or use a design you bring in. Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo also offers all styles of tattooing as well as piercings and all-around fun. In the DFW area, stop by Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo and tell them Radical Russ sent you. Trust me, it'll feel awesome.
Remember, friends, there's more to life than marijuana. I just can't remember what it is. Why'd I come in here? This is the Rush Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Welcome back, everybody. Creeping up on 12 after the hour here. So Donald Trump won the Nevada caucus. that's three in a row for the Trumpster. After his showing in Iowa, he's won New Hampshire, South Carolina, and Nevada. Folks, just prepare for the eventuality that it's going to be Donald Trump as the nominee for the Republican Party. Now, there's that cynical George Carlin side of me that is thrilled with this development. Because, you know, Carlin's kind of misanthropic thing where he talks about, you know, if you're born in America, you got a front row seat to the chaos and the devastation that's about to occur. So, yeah. And it reminds me, did you ever see the movie Idiocracy? Mike Judge movie? Really didn't get the attention I thought it deserved. But, yeah, in Idiocracy, they elect a professional wrestler president. And so we are... If anything, Idiocracy is almost starting to look like it was, underselling, like, just not quite as fast as it was really happening. So, yeah, Donald Trump, folks, could be the Republican nominee. And then on the Democratic side, you know, Bernie came close in Nevada, but couldn't break within 4.5 points of Hillary. They're tied in pledged delegates, or she's one ahead, I think. But of course, she's got all the superdelegates, which is, you know, all the party insiders that want her to go on because she'll keep the cash cow flowing, right? She'll keep that politics the way they are. And that's why they want her, of course. Bernie would upset the apple cart for everybody involved. I really hope it ends up being Bernie versus Trump, okay? I really do, because the way I look at it, this is the election of it's the rigged system stupid. It's the corruption stupid. We don't trust the Democrats or Republicans anymore. The Democratic base doesn't trust the Democrats. The Republican base doesn't trust the Republicans. Everybody's bought and sold, and we can see it, and it's just so obvious and not even hidden anymore. So to have the sociopathic billionaire versus the anti-corporate socialist in an election, that would just pretty much sum up, you know, which direction is America going to go? And I'd like to see that decision made. Now, I do have to preface everything by saying I have no children, ovaries, or black skin, or gay lovers, right? So I understand why women and minorities and gay folks, this is like, oh my God, this is terrible if Trump's elected and so forth. So yeah, I get those points. But you know, this country just really needs to decide what it's going to be. If we're going to be, you know, Shark Tank, corporate, unlimited capitalism, in God we trust money worshipers, then let's elect Trump and let's just get it over with and see what happens. Because I think it will destroy America to such a degree that we'll look back on George W. Bush and go, oh my God, we thought he fucked things up. And maybe we just need to get to that. Maybe America needs to hit rock bottom. Maybe we just need to hit rock bottom on this capitalism thing until we realize, look, the economy works however we program it to work. And if it's leaving a bunch of people homeless, and if it's wrecking lives like this, and failing to provide a living wage or a way for people to get ahead, then it's not the kind of economy we want. So maybe that happens. Maybe elect Trump. He's got the GOP Senate. He's got the GOP House. He's, well, maybe they get the Senate. But, yeah, maybe that just crashes America to rock bottom and we can recover and join the rest of, like, the Western democracies into some sort of hybrid of capitalism and socialism, right? See, the way I see it is that, you know, organisms, you know, they want to survive, and it's survival of the fittest. And in a healthy ecosystem, the little things get eaten by the big things, and the big, you know, the little things eat the plants, and the big things eat the little things, and the bigger things eat the big things. But then something eventually has to prey on the big things, whether it be disease or, you know, in the case of a ecosystem run amok where there's too many predators, they eventually starve because there's not enough prey and so on, right? There's that balance in nature from the littlest microbe all the way up through the food chain and then back down again, right? There's a cycle. Pure capitalism doesn't recognize that. Pure capitalism is this pure growth thing that just continues to grow like, you know, amoebas in a petri dish or whatever. And just like when the predators overpopulate and they have nothing left to prey on, the capitalists left to overpopulate have no consumers left. We wipe out all the consumer base. The best capitalism ever ran was from about 1940 to 1960, 1970, when workers were getting paid and people were making money and could buy a house and support a family on one income. That was the best possible capitalism, right? Because it had an extreme redistribution of wealth. There was something in the ecosystem, Eisenhower's 91% tax rates or whatever you want to have it, that acted to bring back the predators back into the system, the winners back. And that's just so lacking right now. So I'm hoping it's Trump Sanders, because if America picks Trump, then we end up in that capitalist crash, you know, and maybe people are ready for Elizabeth Warren in 2020. But if we get Sanders elected and he moves forward with this agenda, now, I'm not so naive as to think that it's going to happen immediately. Like, Sanders gets elected and suddenly there's, you know, public health care for everyone. But it installs the idea that, no, goddammit, the people have spoken and that's what they want, and we better start working to have it or you're going to lose your congressional seat. And then in an election wave or two, then we start making that progress that we need to make. But a strong stand needs to be made by the American people to finally say, this is enough of this type of politics. We can't keep going like this anymore. And I think Bernie Sanders on the ticket will actually invigorate younger voters and more liberal-leaning Democratic voters and voters who've been sitting out. And if it's Trump Sanders, I think there's a large degree of Republicans who would do anything to prevent Trump from being the president. And some of those more moderate, like socially liberal Republicans who are fiscal conservatives and all, believe it or not, I think they could be swayed over to Bernie's side. Once you point out that a company like Walmart or McDonald's is being socially subsidized as it is, when they don't pay their workers enough money to live, and we've got to buy food stamps for these people and rent control for these people, we're subsidizing Walmart, we're subsidizing McDonald's. When those messages start to sink in, I think there can be a large crossover. And the polls are showing it, with Bernie having a commanding lead over Trump in a head-to-head election compared to Hillary Clinton. You want to see turnout at the lowest levels of a presidential election ever, nominate Hillary Clinton. Like 9 out of 10 Republicans hate her and 2 out of 10 Democrats hate her. She's got untrustworthy numbers all the way in the 3 out of 5 range. Nobody's going to want to vote for someone perceived to be untrustworthy, unliked, and currently under FBI investigation for top secret emails. Sometimes I just have to talk politics, folks, even without any marijuana in it whatsoever. But this does have a lot to do with marijuana, because President Bernie Sanders is the only one who's talking about descheduling marijuana, getting the federal government out of marijuana altogether by taking it out of the controlled substances list. That's what needs to happen.
Man, I'm not going to any more of these bullshit Puno parties.
All right, Mr. President. He's kind of getting loose now in the last year of his term. Hey, folks, it's 420 here in beautiful legal Potland, Oregon. I've got me a vape pen hanging out here. Let's enjoy that. I hope you've got something as well. Talk to you in another 90 seconds while we pay some bills.
Great websites today need expert web design and development and need to be e-commerce ready and mobile friendly. But building a marketable and profitable website can be an uphill climb. Ready to make your new website or replace your existing website? Think Orange as the new way to get in the black. Orange Hill Development works with Fortune 500 companies and offer the same top quality development service at a fraction of what other providers charge. Brands like Absolute, Carlsberg, and Nestlé trust Orange Hill Development. Find out why you should trust your website with Orange Hill. Contact Orange Hill for a consultation today at orangehilldevelopment.com.
You're listening to Radical Russ on the Russ Belville Show.
It's time for cannabis facts about Alzheimer's from Robert Platschorn's thesilvertour.org. This message is supported by our donors and Hemp Inc., a public company poised to lead America's hemp revolution at hempinc.com. A new Florida study in the journal Molecular and Cellular Neuroscience found that cannabis promotes the growth of healthy new brain tissue. It can slow the effects of Alzheimer's and may in fact be able to halt it entirely. A long-term study by Ohio State University's Professor Gary Wenk concludes that people who regularly use marijuana get Alzheimer's at a much lower rate than others. This was Cannabis Facts from thesilvertour.org, an educational nonprofit supported by our donors and Hemp Inc., a public company poised to lead America's hemp revolution at hempinc.com.
Are you playing an acoustic guitar but want to be louder without an amp? Try a resonator guitar. The fingerboard extension has National Resophonic and other resonators, square necks and round necks. Stop by the Fingerboard Extension downtown Corvallis at 120 Northwest 2nd Street today. Or check out its inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com. Go wild hog in the woods.
Pod 2.0.
It's not your father's Woodstock weed.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
All right, welcome back, everybody. 23 after the hour. Our phone lines are open at 971-533-7111. I had somebody on the line there just a second ago. I don't know if you can hear the background music and stuff. Maybe that's it. When you're calling in, if you're not hearing the commercial, it's just quiet. And so you don't know. See if I can get that figured out, maybe. It was someone from the 360 area code. If you're still out there, go ahead and call in. The line is open. Got an update here from the state of Oregon where our Senate has given the green light to Senate Bill 1511. Tuesday cleared the Senate on an 18-10 vote. And it's kind of controversial, but it really shouldn't be. But I'm a bit of an outlier on this subject as far as the Oregon marijuana community goes. Maybe I'm not. Maybe more people agree with me than I think, but maybe it's just the people I hang out with, right? See, medical marijuana, as we've said many times, is an exception to criminal prosecution. But since medical marijuana has existed now for 17 years in Oregon and, you know, over a decade many other places, medical marijuana became its own thing. Became its own movement and its own industry. And now, as marijuana is becoming legalized, medical marijuana is fighting to remain its own special little pocket, its own special little cul-de-sac of regulations and privileges as compared to just plain old legalization. And there's a lot of changes that are happening, which, of course, the medical marijuana advocates inevitably blame legalization for, which is not really fair because legalization doesn't change medical. It just removes the entire reason you needed to have the exemption in the first place. It's not that it changes medical. It renders medical less pertinent as a policy. And we're starting to see this now in Oregon as the legislature is basically, and as far as I'm concerned, not too subtly, merging these two systems. And the medical people hate it. Oh, they're just screaming bloody murder over this. But folks, it's just, it's got to be. See, here's the bill that just passed. Senate Bill 1511 says that in a recreational shop, you can buy medical pot tax-free. If you got your OMMP card at a rec shop, you can buy tax-free pot there. Currently in Oregon at the dispensaries, we've got this early sales bill. The early sales bill allows all adults like me to go buy pot at the dispensary. Now, there's a special tax. It's a 25% tax you're paying. And I can only buy a quarter ounce. I can't buy a full ounce, right? There's some limitation to it. Another bill is going to make it so that when I, the healthy adult, go into the medical dispensary, I can also buy the edibles and the tinctures that I haven't yet been able to buy. So if you're going to have a pot shop where patients can shop tax-free, and you're going to have a dispensary where adults can shop for all the products, what's the point of having the two separate buildings? And that's what's going, that's where they're pushing this. They're pushing this to the point where the people have to look at it and go, yeah, you're right. It is absurd to have two separate buildings under two separate regulatory agencies, Oregon Health Authority in the case of medical, OLCC, Oregon Liquor Control Commission in the case of recreational. Two separate buildings with two separate regulatory agencies that get their product from two separate sources that then test it at two separate testers and process it through two separate processors, and then it's at the two different stores that anybody could shop at either of them. there's no way that's tenable. There's no way that can remain. And I predicted this long ago. I remember having numerous discussions with a couple lawyer friends about this, saying, look, here's what it needs to be. One regulatory agency specifically focused on cannabis. Don't split this with the Liquor Control Commission and have them running liquor and cannabis. Come up with a separate commission that only runs cannabis and stock it with people that actually know something about cannabis. I'll guarantee you, none of the people on the Oregon Liquor Control Commission have smoked a joint in the past decade, probably. If they've ever smoked at all. So get yourself an agency that only runs cannabis. Have that run all the producers, all the processors, all the testers, and all the retailers. One system for producing, processing, and selling cannabis. Now, at this point, this is where people say, well, what about the medical growers who are growing for 6 or 7 or 12 or 15 patients, and then they want to use the excess to be able to sell to the dispensaries? Wait a minute. That's where you got to stop. The whole thing about the grower and the caregiver taking care of the patient was always supposed to be a not-profit kind of thing. It was always supposed to be that. And it evolved into these guys selling their so-called excess to dispensaries, which really the excess, when we talk about the excess, under the medical law, the patients own the six plants and all the harvest that comes from those six plants. So these growers are getting to sell something that they don't own. The patient has to actually sign over the excess for these guys to sell to the dispensaries. And that's the little cottage industry they want to keep afloat. Being able to be not inspected and no security cams, and I'm just growing my dozen or two dozen plants, and I'm harvesting and giving my patients free weed, maybe an ounce or two every month, and then I take the rest of that stuff and sell it all the dispensaries. Now I don't have to worry a whole lot about taxes and a bunch of paperwork and all that. I'm just taking weed into the guy, and the guy's giving me money, and it's all good. And that's what they want to keep running. And I'm sorry. That just can't be. Now, when this Cannabis Commission comes up with ways for these dispensaries to be supplied and who can be producers, I'm all for sort of micro licensing, like what they've got in the Adult Use of Marijuana Act in California. You can actually be a micro business. You are your own grower, your own processor, your own wholesaler. So yeah, the little family farmer guy, the little guy growing for 6 to 8 or 12 patients can still do his thing and be a micro business, but it's licensed and it's registered and it's regulated and it's taxed because you're making money off of it. If it was just about the compassion and helping the patients, great. Stick with that. Grow for your 4 patients. Supply them marijuana. But if you want to engage in the commerce of marijuana, it needs to all be under one thing. Because if it's not, you set up separate but equal. And you set up a situation that will entice people to game the medical system to be able to get the special sweetheart deal that the medical side gets that the recreational side doesn't get. So just keep it under one thing, and it can be different levels of licensing. We can have it down to the micro grow level, no problem, but have one set of rules and regulations. The only thing Oregon Health Authority needs to do is to maintain a voluntary registry of patients and issue cards so that when that person takes the card to the state pot shop, the one retail outlet that we have, when they take that card, they can get their purchase tax-free. That's it. That's all OHA needs to be doing is issuing cards for people, and they get their purchases tax-free. They can purchase more. They have a greater possession limit. I'm still all for that. Sure. Let the patients keep their 24 ounces. Sure. I understand the need for that. So your card means greater possession limit. And that does lead to, you know, some people wanting to game the system too, who might want to have a lot more weed or whatever. But, you know, at some point you have to accept that the patients do need more and that's worth it, right? Now, sometimes I get on this tangent and people talk about, well, what about the Eastern Oregon that ban all the pot shops? There's no reason why that we can't have the one, we can set this up legislatively. So that at minimum, per county or however you want to set it up, there has to be at least one pot shop per county, but those pot shops can be restricted to only medical sales. And that's, again, where those cards come in, right? So in effect, we get the same thing we got right now, where there's some dispensaries in these eastern counties where there can't be pot shops. We get the same effect. They're just all regulated under one system. And the only thing, it's not a different building or a different license. It's just whether or not what's your access. Basically, we make it so that the eastern counties can ban people without medical cards from going to the pot shop. That's all. But it's still the same pot shop that any other pot shop would be. That's the way I think this needs to go, because I just can't see how you would have separate systems like this. And we want to... I just want to see it streamlined, and I want to see it work smoothly and be a model for some other states. This thing in Colorado, where you go into a building, I was in one in Fort Collins, where you walk in and there's a divider. And on the left it says medical, and on the right it says recreational. But behind the glass are jars of the same strains. Literally, I looked over and there's a jar of Super Silver Haze there on the medical side. I look over, there's a jar of Super Silver Haze over there on the recreational. But both of those Super Silver Hazes came from two different plants that came through two entirely separate production lines. And the medical never crossed over into the recreational. The recreational never crossed over into the medical. You couldn't take a clone from your Super Silver Haze plant on the medical side and then use that to propagate over on the recreational side. Nope, seed to sale, can't do that. That's just insane. The medical marijuana people are going to have to recognize that medical marijuana was a temporary measure. It was a tactic in this war against prohibition. And now that the war against prohibition is being won, the more it's won, the less we need the medical marijuana tactic anymore. Because the end result of medical marijuana, folks, is the pharmacies.
That's where medical marijuana ends up, is in pharmacies with precision-controlled aerosols and inhalers and pills and creams and tinctures and suppositories. That's where medical marijuana ends up. And yeah, our chat room reminds me that the real problem is the pot lobby trying to pull all the strings to the benefit of the few of their biggest donors. Yes, it is definitely a pay-to-play environment going on right now as far as the lobbying goes, and I could get into some of the names, but no need to do that right now. It's going to be interesting to see how it all shakes out, but I think it eventually shakes out to be one system, one streamlined system, and we go for there. Jackie Newberry asks, how could Bill Clinton claim he didn't like marijuana if he didn't inhale? Well, Christopher Hitchens, who went to Oxford with Bill Clinton, once wrote that Bill Clinton was a big fan of the Alice B. Toklas brownies. Didn't like smoking, but he liked the brownies. So when he said he never did it again, it didn't mean marijuana. It meant smoking. He was clever with those two-letter words.
It depends on what the meaning of the word it is. I did not smoke that marijuana.
Be back in 60 seconds. Oh, 90 seconds. Pardon me. 110. Be right back.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
All right, 2 minutes. Back in 2 minutes.
Dr. Dabber, hurry. Its temperature is shooting past 1,000 degrees Fahrenheit. It's burning up.
I'm afraid for this little guy, it's just too late.
What caused the problem?
Only Dr. Dabber can maintain the perfect temperature for a smooth-tasting, slower burn. This standard vaporizer lost all of its health benefits, sending it up in smoke.
So you're telling me that most vapor pens burn so hot they produce smoke, not vapor?
Correct. Keep away from those standard vaporizer pens and turn to Dr. Dabber. Doctor's orders.
Less heat, more flavor.
Warning. Hits taken on this show are larger than they appear. Do not try this at home. These people are professionals, or at least they pay me to say that. A public service message from CannabisRadio.com and the Russ Belville Show.
Educator, author, and advocate Dr. Mitch Earlywine is here to tackle the burning issues.
And I'm here to clear up the myths about cannabis and burn them away with science.
CannabisRadio.com presents a no-holds-barred platform that seeks to redefine and revolutionize the entire scope of the cannabis culture while opening the door for more to join the cannabis crusade.
Dr. Kevin Hill.
You can't ignore the fact that, like alcohol, most people who use don't have a problem. So I think that you need to think about policy in that way while educating people properly about marijuana. I think that's the way to go.
Burning Issues, only on CannabisRadio.com.
The Fingerboard Extension has fretted instruments to enhance your creativity. It has new and used guitars and banjos from beginning to high class. The Fingerboard Extension has National Resophonic, Husson Dalton, Larrabee, Heritage and Recording King guitars, and Mike Ramsey, Wildwood, Gold Tone and Recording King banjos. The Fingerboard Extension also has drum stuff, used gear, and parts. Stop by the Fingerboard Extension, downtown Corvallis, Oregon at 120 Northwest 2nd, or check out the inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com and reverb.com.
Pod 2.0. It's not your father's Woodstock weed. This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Welcome back, everyone. 39 after the hour. Heading down to Fort Worth, Texas. I'll be there Friday doing a live show from Fort Worth. And then covering the Southwest Cannabis Conference and Expo. I love that we're getting more and more of these conferences in less pot-friendly places in America. Can't help but change people's minds as they start to learn more about us and this industry. And, you know, there's kind of a diminishing returns when it comes to legalizing pot, too.
Like, if you're the 10th state to legalize pot, then that's, you know, pretty good for you. But if you're the 45th state, then, you know, who cares? People have already, you know, found their pot. So I think there's going to be, after California falls this election and the other nine states or the other five states that I think will fall for, you know, I think we'll have legalization in California, Arizona, Nevada, and Massachusetts, and Maine. I think those five states will fall. Maine may be the closest one. I think Massachusetts is a lock, I think. Arizona may be close. Nevada, I think, will win. California, I think, will win. Then we've got medical. Looks like it's going to be coming up in Ohio and Missouri and Florida and Arkansas going for it right now. And Idaho's got a petition drive. I don't know that they'll get it in Idaho because they got to get it from such disparate, you know, they have to go to each, like, voting precinct or something like that and get a certain amount. But that could be five states with going for medical. I think for sure Florida will make the ballot and will pass it this time. I think Arkansas, whether or not it makes the ballot, we'll see. I think Ohio will make the ballot, and if it makes the ballot, it passes for sure. Ohio and Florida, I think, are locks for medical marijuana. And that could have a huge impact on our presidential race because Ohio and Florida are those, you know, a couple swing states that a Republican needs to win if he wants to win the White House. And as it's looking to become Donald Trump as the Republican nominee, Trump's been kind of, you know, he's been pro-medical marijuana as far as I can tell for most of his career, whatever the hell that is. And I think, you know, with the prospect of Florida and Ohio being on the ballot with medical marijuana, and he's no dummy as far as being able to sense what the people want, I think he could be very strongly medical marijuana in those states and outflank, let's say it's Hillary Clinton that gets nominated, right? He could outflank Hillary Clinton on the medical marijuana issue because she's always been so lukewarm on it. Oh, we need more studies. I think he'll jump all over that. So I think it'll be very, very interesting for Florida and Ohio coming up in this this election. Now, there's an interesting story coming out of the Associated Press that I wanted to talk about. Tourist pot complaints up at Colorado emergency rooms. And it explains how there's a study of a hospital near the Denver International Airport for 2014 when recreational pot became legal. They checked out emergency room admissions, and they've published the results here in the New England Journal of Medicine. And they found that the rate of emergency room visits possibly related to marijuana doubled among out-of-state residents in the first year of recreational pot sales. Doubled. Now, here's where you have to have some perspective. The rate went from 85 per 10,000 in 2013 to 168 per 10,000. Okay, so 168 per 10,000 is 16.8 per 1,000 is 1.68 per 100. So that's 1.68%. We're talking about a really low rate, even as is. So it went from 0.85% to 1.68%. So still, you know, one out of 100 people, one and a half out of 100, are going to the ER for weed. Now, among the Colorado residents, on the other hand, the rate didn't really change that much. Went from 106 per 10,000 to 112 per 10,000. And this played out statewide. They looked through the Colorado Hospital Association. They found out-of-state residents from their hospitals went from 78 per 10,000 in 2012 to 112 per 10,000 in 2013 to 163 per 10,000 in 2014 for out-of-state residents, 78 to 112 to 163 over the span of those years. But for Colorado residents, it went 61 to 70 to 86 to 101. Now, some of the reasoning behind this would be that the out-of-staters are noobs. People in Colorado that are smoking weed have been smoking weed. But you're going to get Nebraskans and Kansans and Oklahomans and all these noobs, Utahns, coming into Colorado and getting a hold of some really good dank, or worse, eating an edible and not knowing to go slow and take some time. And they get freaked out and they end up going to the hospital. The most common ailment by visitors was psychiatric,
That was for the visitors. They said the Coloradoans, the in-state people, the most common reaction was gastrointestinal. Stomach hurt, right? But for the out-of-staters, it was psychiatric, aggressive behavior, and hallucinations. Men were 2 to 3 times more likely than women to complain of cannabis-related ailments. And it was a median age of 35 and a half. So I think looking at this, what it really has to be, again, is it's a noob factor. It's people coming in and thinking, oh my God, weed's legal. I can't wait to try weed. Oh, weed has heard so much about weed. It'd be great. Oh, the Colorado weed. And then they end up overdoing it. And because it's legal, now they can go to an emergency room and talk about it and not worry about getting busted for possession. So it's part more people, you know, tourists coming in and using it, but it's also part that now that it's legal, you can actually say something about it. And that was Dr. Andrew Monty, the toxicologist and ER physician at University of Colorado Hospital in Aurora, said the increase has 2 likely explanations: more people using pot and more patients fessing up about using pot to doctors because it's illegal or because it's legal. People can come in and say, hey, I've got chest pains and I used marijuana a week ago. Now that's got nothing to do with marijuana, but now more people are willing to admit this kind of thing. And of course, here toward the end, they say none of the cases were fatal. Well, of course. And Colorado's made a ton of money on this already. And they're part of it from the tax revenue has funded this campaign called Good to Know. And the campaign is to educate people on going slow, starting low, taking it easy. Apparently, we need more information out to these people. And part of the problem is that Colorado can't advertise this out of state to other people. You can't drop a tourism ad in Nebraska that says, hey, if you're coming to Colorado to enjoy some cannabis, make sure you start low and go slow, right? It's just not going to fly in Nebraska or Oklahoma or something like that. But that's where it needs to be played. That's where people need to be hearing this before they get in the car and drive across I-80 into Denver. And another story before we wind, before we run out of time here. Back to Canada for a second. Mike Adams reports in High Times that Canada's largest pharmacy chain wants to sell medical marijuana. It's a place called Shoppers Drug Mart. ShoppersDrugMart.ca. And currently, medical marijuana patients in Canada can only get their marijuana by mail order from the government-approved processors. But Shoppers Drug Mart is in negotiations with cannabis producers all over Canada to try to find a deal where they could sell generic versions of marijuana branded with the Shopper's name at over 1,300 pharmacies across 10 provinces. Executives have been engaged in meetings with the federally licensed pot producers, and the idea is for trained pharmacists to dispense cannabis medicine. Tammy Smitham, company spokesperson, told the Globe and Mail, quote, pharmacists are medication experts and play a significant role in the prescribing and monitoring of medication to ensure safe and optimal use. We believe that dispensing medical marijuana through pharmacies, like other medications, is the safest option, end quote. Just like I always said, man, that's where the medical marijuana box canyon takes you, is to the pharmacy. Oh, you said it was a medicine. Oh, medicine? Well, pharmacists dispense medicine, don't they? Generically branded medicine. They'll treat cannabis like, you know, it's just a pill. Something generic that we can give you. No consideration as to what's a strain or the need for the whole plant, because they won't be selling the plant in the dispensary. It'll be oils. It'll be edible products. For this to happen, they need to get a distribution license from Health Canada, but there'd have to be a few other things that the Canadian government would have to adjust. Right now, like I said, medical marijuana is sold only online through mail order. And we shall see. You know, the Liberal government there in Canada has pledged to legalize recreational cannabis, I can't imagine that you'd have a situation where recreational cannabis would move forward in Canada with retail distribution, you know, stores, and medical not having a store. Medical's going to have to come from someplace. And so what I'm thinking, if this plays out, you might have a situation where at the pot store in Canada, you can't buy edibles or tinctures or salves or concentrates. It might turn out that the only thing you could buy at a Canadian pot store would be bud, because that would be considered the recreational marijuana, would be just the bud. And patients that want to use whole plant would have to shop at the rec shop and pay taxes. Because if they wanted medical, why, they could go to the Shoppers Drug Mart and use their Health Canada to be able to get the actual medical, the salves and the tinctures that they're going to consider medical. Now, I don't know for sure if that's the way it's going to turn out, but just prognosticating, and so far I've been right on a lot of these things, so let's see. Oh, and speaking of Canada, I have to give a big shout out to Kirk Tusaw, a friend of mine, Canadian lawyer. Saw him a few months ago with he's the one that brought Mark Stepnoski to my house. first NFL Super Bowl winner that I've ever had at my home. But yeah, Kirk's a great guy up there in Vancouver, Washington. Just won that case about medical marijuana grow rights. So I'm going to send him an email and see if we can get him on the show to discuss in detail what happened with that. Looking forward to that. Great guy. And I'm looking forward to getting to Vancouver sometime. I know the International Cannabis Business Conference will be in Vancouver in October, so I'm likely to be there. And in Berlin, Germany next April, a year from this April. I've already got my passport. I'm ready to go to Germany. All right, we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we'll wrap things up because we got to get off the air for Stoner Jesus to take over here on CannabisRadio.com at the top of the hour.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Ganjapreneur.com, your guide to the cannabis business world. Ganjapreneur.com is a comprehensive resource for cannabis professionals and entrepreneurs. Download the Ganjapreneur app on your smartphone or tablet to catch up on cannabis industry news, scroll through our daily job listings, and learn about successful cannabis companies, executives, and investors. Ganjapreneur.com, helping Ganjapreneurs grow.
You're listening to the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com, where we don't change our mind on decriminalization during an election year.
It's time for Cannabis Facts about Teen Drug Use from Robert Platschorn's thesilvertour.org. This message is supported by our donors and Hemp Inc., a public company poised to lead America's hemp revolution at hempinc.com. A recent survey by the U.S. Centers for Disease Control indicates that in states that have legalized medical marijuana, the rate of marijuana consumption among high school students has not increased. In fact, in legal states like Colorado, teen use has actually decreased significantly. It's simply no longer a big deal for teenagers in legal states. This was Cannabis Facts from thesilvertour.org, an educational nonprofit supported by our donors and Hemp Inc., a public company poised to lead America's hemp revolution at hempinc.com.
New beginner guitars and banjos are often constructed much better than ones built before your time. Why struggle? Get a new instrument or fix the old one. Trusted professionals at the Fingerboard Extension will evaluate your instrument for free. Repairs are priced for people who work for a living. Stop by the Fingerboard Extension downtown Corvallis at 120 Northwest 2nd Street today, or check out its inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com.
warning. Hits taken on this show are larger than they appear. Do not try this at home. These people are professionals. Or at least they pay me to say that. This is Dan Michaels from danmichaelsaudio.com. And you're listening to Radical Russ on CannabisRadio.com.
Thanks, Dan Michaels. Remember, Stoner Jesus coming up at the top of the hour. And as we close things out, we're looking forward to South Carolina and its Democratic primary, where Hillary Clinton holds a huge lead amongst African-American voters who make up some 50% of the electorate there. But Bernie Sanders is fighting back, and I wanted to play for you this ad that Spike Lee has dropped for Bernie Sanders. Check it out.
Wake up! Wake up, South Carolina! This is your dude, Spike Lee. And I know that you know the system is rigged. For too long, we've given our votes to corporate puppets. Sold the okey-doke. 99% of Americans were hurt by the Great Recession of 2008, and many are still recovering. And that's why I'm officially endorsing my brother, Bernie Sanders. Bernie takes no money for corporations. Nada. Which means he is not on the take. And when Bernie gets in the White House, he will do the right thing. How can we be sure? Bernie was at the March on Washington with Dr. King. He was arrested in Chicago for protesting segregation and public schools. He fought for wealth and education equality throughout his whole career. No flipping, no flopping. Enough talk, time for action. Hey, Bernie from Brooklyn, talk to the folks.
I'm Bernie Sanders, Democratic candidate for president, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Bernie 2016, not the billionaires.
My name is Hamilton Grant.
Bryanta Booker Maxwell.
My name is Gloria Brummel Tinubu.
I'm Willie.
Oh, there we go. Can't play it all, but Spike Lee for Bernie Sanders. Thanks, Spike. That's all the time we got for today. Thanks for joining us. Coming up in just 3 minutes, the Stoner Jesus Show is live here on CannabisRadio.com. We'll be back tomorrow with more news and interviews you can use for the cannabis community with our Cops Say Legalized Drugs segment. We'll be speaking with former law enforcement who say it's time to legalize marijuana. And we've got a special guest coming up on the Friday show. I've got to finalize that booking before I can tell you who it is, but it'd be pretty nice if we get that booking. Also, we'll get some more details from Mason Tvert about that Ohio medical marijuana plan as soon as I can. For everyone here at CannabisRadio.com and Rolla J Studios, I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us, and until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth.